shot at all day. I mean, you make a price not knowing which way the broker's going to deal. The broker may deal and put the job on the spot by selling him stock he's already got. So the jobber has to lower his price straight away to sell the stock he's got. So it wouldn't suit every broker to do that. I don't think he can stand the pressure. All right?
Yes.
Anything else?
Did you think the brokers came from a different background to the jobbers?
Yes. I think I did mention before the brokers mostly came from universities, where the others were more or less elementary schools. I think the brokers had the advantages of knowing higher clients, pricier clients than the generation of the elementary schools didn't know the people. They knew the people, the right people to go who were dealing in stocks and shares and could afford to buy or lose or sell.
Did they ever look down on the jobbers because of that?
No. Oh, no. No, there was a good feeling between brokers and jobbers, whether you were university or where you were not. I mean, a lot of the jobbers, I mean, and some of the higher class jobbers with Durlach and company and that, they came from universities.
What would you say was the strengths of the jobbing system, say comparing the world after 1986 with the world before 1986, in which you'd
I
worked?
Think the jobbers earned their salt much more than the jobbers of today do. First of all, I mean, there wasn't so much money about. There weren't so many people dealing on the stock exchange. It's only broadened out through strength of papers, through really. And I would say it's easier now for a broker to make money or get a clientele going, because a pound in the old days was a pound. Now 10,000's nothing. It's a accumulation of the money, or the way the money has gone appreciated. In the old days, it was very depreciated.
And what do you think was the distinctive quality that the jobbing system gave to the London Stock Exchange?
The quality.
What difference do you think it made?
Well, I think, again, as I've said before, my word is my bond.
Honesty.
There was honesty, fair play. Nobody tried to outdo anybody else unfairly, because they knew it would come back on them in the end. And you had to be on your mettle, but on the other hand, you had to be give a pound and take a pound. You know what I mean?
Do you think there were any weaknesses in the jobbing
Oh
system?
yes, they carried it. Most jobbers carried, for a time, passengers. Yeah, and the passengers only became apparent over the years. They weren't, when they looked back on and saw what they made one year and made the next year, they found out they weren't doing any good, and they were quietly told, "We don't think you're up to the job, and we think you should look around, probably go to a broker."
Why did that happen? I mean, how was it that firms would end up with passengers, as you said?
Well, a bad job is sometimes make a good broker. He didn't have to use his head so much by making prices and watching the market go up and down, and he couldn't stand the pressure. Whereas a broker, he could say to the client, or the client would come on to him and say, "I want to buy and sell," and he didn't have to think about it. He just did the business. Or the senior partner in the firm would say to the boy, "Go and buy so and so for Mr. Smith, buy 5,000 of those." He'd go in the market and just deal. So there was no pressure on him at all. Pressure.
Would you say jobbing was a risky business?
I would. Very risky.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, every time you deal,
especially with a wife like me.
Every time you deal in any share, whatever it is, it's a certain amount of risk you're taking on. Because nobody in the cleverest one person in the world can never say if that share's going up or down. If you've got about 10, 15 or 20 jobbers doing the same stock, you don't know what their thoughts are. So you're in the lap of the gods, so to speak. Oh no, it's very risky business.
Now, how would you just contrast the stock exchange at the time you'd retired with the stock exchange when you'd first joined? Had it changed?
Yes. Well, again, as I said before, it's changed because of the money appreciation. Whether I was dealing in, say, if I dealt in 100 or 500 or 1,000 shares, that was my lot. a good day's business. But now, then afterwards, when the money went higher and whatever, I was dealing 5, 10 and 20,000. Now they're dealing in 250,000, half a million. It's the appreciation of money and the appreciation of shares. And the more capitalised shares with more stock to deal in. Where some companies were capitalised 20 or 30,000 pounds or 50,000 pounds, 250,000 to 500,000 or 10 million, 20 million. The capitalisation, there's more shares around. You can deal free, it's a freer market.
And how would you contrast Smith Brothers at the time you retired to the firm when you joined it in 1928?
Oh, yeah. Very much bigger. Very, very, very much bigger. Progress along the line again. And the appreciation of money. I mean, all the people who were dealing in the early days of Smith Brothers gradually matured and maturity and their incomes went up and their capital went up. The market got from 1945 onwards, the market got freer and freer every year because of more money, more shares, more to deal in, more capitalisation. Not the firms getting much larger, or not more firms becoming jobbers or brokers. Roughly the same amount of brokers and jobbers. In fact, if anything, less, because the amalgamations of brokers, and one or two amalgamations of jobbers, more so in the broking line, lessened the people dealing. So it wasn't through that. It was just the money and the share capitals and takeovers to put the values up.
How had you felt about a career as a jobber? Did you feel it had been a good career to have pursued?
Yes. I couldn't have done better anywhere else. I could have gone on any job. I'd have got a wage, a steady wage, which would appreciate it, but nothing on the scale that the stock exchange did. No way.
And what do you feel...
But you had to be a success to do that. Yes. I mean, if you were a failure, then you were out. No problem.
Well, what do you think were the qualities that you had that meant that you were a success?
Hard work. Just hard work and knuckle down. Good times with the bad times. And as I said before, with a bit of help from your governors.
A bit from me to you.
With a bit of help from your governors in the bad times, and that helped a lot. Home and dry. But it was knuckling down and sticking to it in through, what they say, thick and thin.
And good wives.
Good wives. I think we'll finish on that note. Thank you. Yes.